Good morning. If you take your Bibles, you can open them up to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In John 8:31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, as we look at this passage, Jesus claims that if one continues in his word, they will know the truth and the truth will set them free. His word is God's word. If only those who know God's word and continue in God's word can know the truth, would it be safe to say that those who do not know God's word do not know the truth? In other words, this would suggest that everything that they know and believe would be based on a lie. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When you look at that, the word conform means to fashion self according to. And what Paul is telling us is, do not fashion oneself to this world. Transform, we know, means metamorphosis. It means to change the outward form or appearance of. Renewing is the state of being restored to its former good condition. And of course, prove means to discern and examine. So what Paul is saying here is, believers must undergo a transformation to be renewed to a good condition, their minds, in order to prove what is good and acceptable. Now, the transforming by the renewing of the mind can only come through knowing God's word. It is only through God's word that we can know what is good and acceptable and perfect. It is God who defines what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, this would suggest that the world does not know what is good, acceptable, and perfect as defined by God. See, the world is left to itself to decide what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, if you take God out of the picture, where does this leave human beings? Can man apart from God create a world which is good, acceptable, and perfect? Can mankind evolve and overcome all of its problems? Or is mankind devolving and becoming more degenerate? Is mankind on the road to destruction? Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this day that you've given to us. We just thank you for those that are here. We thank you for those that are listening in. And Father, as we continue to study your word and as we kind of look at the way, the direction the world's going, I just pray that you would just enlighten our hearts and our minds and help us to be able to discern the times that we're living in. And Father, I just pray that you would just be with me this morning, help me to preach in a way that is understandable and in a way that we could look at your word and be able to apply it to our lives. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about the coming beast system, but I wanted to start with Romans 1:18 just to start this off. In Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, to hold means to hold down or suppress the truth. In other words, they have chosen to suppress the truth, and they have chosen unrighteousness. It's not that man can't know the truth. It's that he has intentionally chosen not to know it. Verse 19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." So by this we see that all are without excuse. No man can ever stand before God and say, I did not know you existed. God can be seen in creation, and for those who refuse to acknowledge God, they do so out because of their vain imaginations and their darkened hearts. In other words, they pretend that God does not exist. What happens to people when they choose not to glorify God and show gratitude? And what happens when they choose to deny his existence? Well, verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. First, they begin to see themselves as wise, but what they really are fools. Now, I want to put this in here. Think of the elite of the world who think they are so smart that they can make decisions for mankind. And what God says is these very wise people are nothing but fools. Verse 23 says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. So secondly, they begin to worship the creation. Creation becomes their God. In other words, God told man to rule over creation, but man chooses to allow creation to rule over him. Verse 24 says, wherefore God gave them up to an uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So thirdly, we see as they degenerate, it says God gives them up to their own lust so that they can dishonor their own bodies. In other words, he does this because they've decided to turn the truth of God into a lie. Verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So once they reach this stage, God gives them over to vile affections. Verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseeming and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So fourthly, God gives them over to vile affections and allows them to lust after the same sex. And as we see today, homosexuality is running rampant. Verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to their parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same thing, but have pleasure in them that do them. So the last stage we see as we decide that we do not want to believe in God, the last stage is being turned over to a reprobate mind. In other words, they hate God and they hate God's ways. Notice also in this list, murder is on the list. They think nothing of killing others. It says they are full of deceit. And that means it means to decoy, entrap, trick, or bait. In other words, these people cannot be trusted. They cannot be believed. They invent ways to do evil. So they like to discover new ways to do evil. And they take pleasure or think well of those who do the same thing. In other words, they do not think very well of those who are against doing these things. Now, throughout history, when a people or a nation are given over to a reprobate mind, destruction was never far behind. So when you think of the nation that we live in today, it is not hard to see that we as a nation have reached the final stage of being given over to a reprobate mind. Good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. Lawlessness in our nation seems to be everywhere. But it's not just in our own nation. The whole world appears to be suffering from a reprobate mind. It's almost like there's some unforeseen force that's driving the world to the brink of destruction. It's almost like the world is being prepared for the coming of the lawless one, maybe. See, as believers, we know that the world is headed for destruction. I mean, we have prophecy. God tells us the way it's going to end, and that the Antichrist will one day come on the scene and demand that the world worship him. This will require him to have a system in place, a beast system, a one-world government that will allow him to have control over every human being on this planet. Now, the question is can we see the beginning of the beast system being established today? Are we moving toward a one-world government? Well, let's kind of look at some of the organizations that we have today in the world. We have the United Nations. The United Nations was formed on October 24, 1945, with the hope of preventing another war. The UN Charter was ratified at that time by 29 nations. As of 2023, it has 193 member nations. Today, it has a 2030 agenda for what is called sustainable development. This contains 17 sustainable development goals, and these goals were created with the aim of peace and prosperity for the people and the planet while tackling climate change and working to preserve oceans and forests. In other words, when you look at the UN is a world governing body. We have the World Health Organization. This was formed on April 7, 1948. And on their webpage, it states, WHO is the United Nations agency that connects nations, partners, and people to promote health, keep the world safe, and serve the vulnerable so everyone can obtain the highest level of health. And they say, what we do, who leads the global efforts to expand universal health coverage? We direct and coordinate the world's response to health emergencies, and we promote healthier lives from pregnancy care through old age. It says our triple billion targets outline, a triple billion target is the they want billions of people to have a better health thing. So our triple billion target outlines an ambitious plan for the world to achieve good health for all through science-based policies and programs. So there is at this moment an attempt by the World Health Organization to gain control over how nations respond to a global health threat. Now, there is a fear, okay? There is a fear that nations who allow the WHO to oversee global health will end up giving up their sovereignty in this area. Now, WHO, if you read on it, WHO states, and this is what they say, they claim that the draft agreement that they have or are putting in place will not cede sovereignty of the nations. So, in other words, it's not going to give WHO secretariat power to impose lockdowns or vaccine mandates on countries. So if you hear this going around, WHO is saying this is false news. It's completely false. This is not their goal. They're saying this agreement will not and cannot grant sovereignty. Now, it's interesting as you look at these documents, it contains the word non-binding. So when they first made it up, there was this word non-binding in it. In other words, the advice given by WHO would be non-binding to any nation. So in amended a document, the word non-binding would be removed. They want it removed. And why would you remove the words non-binding unless whose goal is to override national control? See, then we have the World Council of Churches. The World Council of Churches was formed in 1948. Interesting that everything seems to be getting formed around 1948. Does anybody else remember what was formed around 1948? Isn't that the year that Israel went back into the land? So we have the World Councils of Churches formed in 1948. The World Council of Churches is considered an NGO, and that just means a non-government organization at the United Nations. This organization seeks to unite Christians for the common pursuit of justice and peace. It states that it is a fellowship of churches which confess the Lord Jesus Christ as God and Savior according to scriptures. It calls churches to the goal of visible unity in one faith. And when the organization, I've watched some of these, last assembled, it seemed that there were many who were participating that were actually, and they're involved in the occult. I just don't understand, why would they allow people involved in the occult if it happens to do with Jesus Christ? You know, I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things that the gospel calls, it must be another Jesus, it must be another gospel they're representing. But the goal is to unite the world in one faith. Then we have the World Economic Forum. It's an independent, not-for-profit, international organization that aims to improve the world by connecting business, political, academic, and other leaders to shape global, regional, and industry agenda. Now, on June 13th, 2019, the World Economic Forum and the United Nations signed what they called a strategic partnership framework. The purpose was to jointly accelerate the implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Now, these include advancing global challenges and opportunities from climate change, health and education, to gender equality, digital cooperation, and finance. The digital cooperation is to meet the needs of what is now called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, while seeking to advance global analysis, dialogue, and standards for digital governance and digital inclusiveness. Now, notice the date that it was signed, that they wanted to accelerate this, was June 13, 2019. Do you think accelerating the implementation of the 2030 agenda had anything to do with the COVID-19 outbreak that occurred maybe just a few months later? Now, the fourth industrial revolution that they're trying to install here entails resetting the global economy. It is what is called the Great Reset. Now, it refers to a new age of technocracy. They use the word technocracy. Now, technocracy means to rule or control by technology. But as you look at the Great Reset, you find it not only involves a great reset of the economy, this is only one side of the coin, but it also is a great reset of humanity, or what is what they're calling Human 2.0. Now, Human 2.0 involves a genetic change or alteration to humanity. Now, where have we heard this before? Was it in the days of Noah? Now, it seems everything we need to help set the stage for the Antichrist to come on the scene already exists today, and it's accelerating. We have a world governing body. We have a one world religious organization, a one world economic organization, and a one world health organization. Organizations which seem to be gaining more and more power over the affairs of the nations and the world today. Many of the people who make up these organizations are like those described in the passage of Romans 1. That's why I wanted to read Romans 1:18, because a lot of people fall into this category. Are there people out there that would hurt us? Well, according to Romans 1, there is. Can man degenerate to the point where they have a reprobate mind, where they hate God, where they don't care if they murder people or anything? Yes, they can. See, men and women, there are men and women who suppress the truth and they refuse to glorify God. Those who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who have become vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts are darkened. Men and women who have given themselves over to a reprobate or a depraved mind to do what could not be done. So we have women, men and women in these organizations today who have no regard for God and they have no regard for the life of human beings. The first organization that we're going to look at today, and we're not going to look at a lot, but I just want to start this off, but the first organization we're going to look at today is the World Economic Forum. Now, Klaus Schwab is its founder. In 1971, Klaus Schwab, and there's a lot of, you can really go into deep detail on who stands behind them, but we're not going to go there yet. Klaus Schwab founded what was known as the European Management Forum, and that was in 1971. It changed its name to the World Economic Forum in 1987. Now, during this time, they have trained a lot of men, and we'll talk about this later. They're called Davos men and women. Okay? And it's interesting that these Davos men and women are in the governments today. They're in everything. They're in corporations, business. And I'm just going to mention one, and then I'm going to move on. Guess who is really considered a Davos man? Our president, Joe Biden, has been involved in the World Economic Forum. So as we go on, we're going to see how this unfolds. But Schwab stated, and this is what he's saying, you know, in 2020, he published a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset. Schwab stated the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. He also stated, and he says this, many of us are wondering when things will return to normal. Do you remember that stage there where we went through all? We were all wondering when things would return to normal. And he said, the short response is never. Nothing will ever return to the broken sense of normalcy. See, this is what he calls what we were before the COVID pandemic broke out. The system was broken. We'll never return to the broken sense of normalcy that prevailed prior to the crisis, because the coronavirus pandemic marks a fundamental inflection point on our global trajectory. Now, let's look at some of the goals that are involved in this 2030 agenda, and we'll just touch on a few today. The World Economic Forum is working right along with the United Nations to use the global climate change, which I call a hoax, to destroy economies, create food shortages, do away with fossil fuels, break down borders of nations through immigration. We don't see that happening today, do we? If you look at all these people that are coming, guess who's making the highways and the byways for these people to get into the United States? It's the United Nations. They have built a road all the way from South America through Central America all the way to the United States, and they have United Nations camps that are there when these people come. They give them food, they give them clothing, they give them money, they give them money on cards, and they give them directions on how to get here. And then they have a bus system that goes from one camp, it starts in Panama, goes to the next camp, then goes to the next camp until they finally get us here. Now, that may be a coincidence. I'm not sure. But it seems like the United Nations is trying to break down the borders of our country through immigration. They also, part of their plan is to develop a biometric surveillance system for a global police state, implement a new credit score called ESG, reduce the world's population through eugenics under the guise of healthcare. They seek to change the world and control the world through technology. The fourth industrial revolution. Every aspect of a person's life will be monitored and controlled. Oh, that's not possible. Do you realize now that as we carry our cell phones and we use our computers and we use our debit cards and our credit cards that they have data on us? Now, they're going to use this to control. So every aspect of the person's life will be controlled. Individual rights will be a thing of the past. Now we will all be part of a whole, that what they call the technological singularity, all working together for the good of global order, or maybe for the good of the artificial intelligence that they're now coming up with. Now, there's been a push lately for what is called CBDC. Now, CBDC stands for Central Bank Digital Currency. In other words, they want to take all currency and digitize it. In other words, we will soon become a cashless society. Now, to be honest, most of us don't carry cash with us today at all, do we? Most of us have our debit cards and our credit cards, and you know, a lot of our payments are made, you know, I let payments be made through my checking account, or I pay them through, I barely write out checks anymore. I mean, basically, we have become almost like a cashless society. But what will be the difference between the digital and what we have now? Well, right now, I can go to the bank, you can go to the bank, and you can get cash. It's yours. But when the cash disappears and it becomes digital, it's not going to really be yours, okay? Catherine Austin Fitz is an American investment banker who, during the presidency of George H.W. Bush, served as the United States Assistant Secretary of Housing and also the Urban Development Housing. And she gives this warning about CBDC. She calls it a re-engineering of the financial transaction and is part of a large re-engineering of the global governance system. She also stated that what COVID-19 is an institution of controls necessary to convert the planet from a democratic process to technology. Did you ever notice that during that time period it seems like we were required to give up a lot of our freedoms for the sake of the whole? Were they training us for something? So She says, she continues, what we're watching is a change in control and an engineering of new control systems. She goes on to say she would describe it as a slavery system. So we're talking about shifting out freedom, she says, where we have freedom to roam and freedom to say what we want into a complete control system 24/7, including mind control. Technology gives you the ability to institute a complete control system and further centralize economic and political control. Under the CBDC, the people who issue money, okay, would have the power to control how it's spent. In other words, you will get digital money, and who controls the money? The central banks. Well, what are the central banks? They're a handful of families that control it. That's what the Federal Reserve is. It's a handful of money or people who have money that can lend it, control it, and everything else. So these would be the same people who would allow us to have digital currency. But it will also allow them the ability, if they want, to take that currency away from you at any time. So CBDC is already being instituted in a few countries, if you pay attention, around the world. They've already gone to basically a cashless society in these countries. Now, the other thing is if you look at it today, we have what's called, and it was like in 2022, Biden kind of said, well, let's look into central bank digital currency. It's what we call Biden bucks. He's trying to install Biden bucks is what we call it. Now, it's soon coming to our neighborhood in the near distant future. It won't be long until they'll be pushing this to convert over all of this within the United States. Now, when it first begins to roll out, maybe it'll be done on a voluntary basis. This is good for you, let's switch this over. Hey, this is a great thing. But eventually, everyone will be forced into it. Now, if you see this begin to be put in place, I would advise you, and it's up to you, but I would tell you that it would be wise to wait until you are actually forced into the system. Don't volunteer to do it, because there's more underlying this than what they're saying. Now, the CBDC, I want to remind you, it's not the mark of the beast, okay? Okay, there's a lot of things that are being forced on people today, and we think, well, it could be the mark of the beast. I can't get involved in it. It's not the mark of the beast. We always need to be reminded as Christians, if you are forced into something like this, you are not taking the mark of the beast. Because remember, the mark of the beast is not implemented until when? The middle of the tribulation period. And I've always taught, because I believe this is what Scriptures teaches, is that no believer is going into the tribulation period. They will be raptured before that happens. But a global CBDC would certainly help us understand when we look at this. It would help us to understand how not being able to buy and sell without the mark could actually be implemented, because if it's digital currency and they control it, they can control what you buy and sell. Now, CBDC will closely be related to what is called biometric surveillance. Now, everything we do, now listen to this, okay? Because this is the goal. This is what surveillance will do, this biometric surveillance. Everything we do, say, eat, see, hear, and think will be trackable. They will know us better than we know ourselves. In the World Economic Forum, there's a person called Yuval Noah Harari. And anyone sitting here today, you can research this stuff. Okay? It's right out there in the open. All we need to do is look. They're not even hiding it anymore. But Yuval Noah Harari is one of the main spokesmen and supporters of the World Economic Forum. One thing about Harari is he does not hide the intentions of bringing humanity under the control of a one-world government. And just to, as a side note, he's Jewish, okay? He's Jewish. Nor does he have much compassion for human beings. You can listen to this man. It's all over the place. You can find quotes from him. More, I will mention a few now. I'm going to mention a lot more later. But he calls human beings hackable animals. That's all we are to him. We're hackable animals. He has stated that we do not need the vast majority of the population in the 21st century. In other words, most of us are going to be, as technology advances, we are going to be nothing but useless eaters that are not good for anything. Okay? He also states most people do not add anything to sophisticated technology. So even when it comes to work and you know, helping the nation be a better place, most of us aren't going to be able to help out in that area, okay? Because most of it, if you look at it, if they have their plans, most of our jobs that we have today, they won't need us because the robots will be able to do it. Artificial intelligence will be able to do it. We will actually be useless. In fact, they know that this will happen, so they're even talking about maybe having a universal, okay, universal, whatever they call it, where they give you money, right? So they want to give you money, or do it by the state, give you money. Okay, I know you don't have a job, but I'm going to give you money. This is so much. This is to help you, and you can spend it. So they're thinking, well, you know, what are we going to do with these people? We gotta give them money somehow. But he also says they don't contribute anything except maybe their data. Okay, their data. Data is an important thing today. I saw a commercial which says data is the new gold. It's the new gold. And it is. Okay? The cloud, there is no such thing. You know, look up in the clouds. Your information is in the clouds. It's in servers that are built all over the world, including our country. Everything that is done on cell phones, computers, credit cards, debit cards, every transaction is recorded on it. When you talk and, you know, you have a conversation on the phone, it's being recorded somewhere. Have you ever noticed, and I did, I remember I was talking to Joe about getting some, I don't want to have to plant these genetically modified seeds, right? So I'm telling him, you know, Joe, what do you buy for seeds? And he was telling me, what was the name of them?
Heirlooms.
So Joe and I are talking about heirloom seeds, and do you know that on Nancy's cell phone, there was nothing but advertisements, I mean, right down there through heirloom seeds. I mean, is that a coincidence? Probably. Right? Probably was a coincidence. And I'm not the only one. I'm sure that maybe you have noticed that sometimes when you're talking about the next thing, you know, you got these advertisements. Now, in other words, he's saying, so they don't contribute anything except maybe their data. So to Harari, most people will become redundant and disposable. To the elites of the world, the common people have absolutely no value. In other words, humans can be easily replaced with artificial intelligence. Well, that's never happened. There's never been anybody in the world that's eliminated people, that's treated them like they're less than human, right? I mean, nobody like Hitler and Mussolini and some of these other guys that killed millions and millions of people. This couldn't happen on a global scale, could it? Well, I don't know. Could it? See, Harari also refers to, now listen to this, and you can read this. He refers to Jesus being the Son of God and rising from the dead as fake news. He is not coming back to establish a kingdom. We are going to, mankind, we're going through technology, we're going to enable man in one way or the other to become gods. That's what we're going to become gods. Even if we have to genetically change ourselves or connect ourselves up as cyborgs or whatever, we believe that we can be gods. Does this sound like somebody else that we've seen in the Old Testament, maybe right from the beginning, right? That he wanted to be a god? Now, if you want to see how CBDC and biometric surveillance works together, look no further than China today. It is in place, basically, the whole system. I mean, they do facial recognition. You can't walk down the street. You know how it used to be your fingerprint? I never let anybody have my fingerprint because I didn't want anybody to know who I was. But it doesn't matter. Today, you can walk, you can cover your face with a hat, do anything you want, and they'll still be able to. And, you know, don't we all kind of walk kind of funny, right? I mean, look at that guy. He walks really strange. We all have a different walk. They will be able to tell you who you are if they can't see your face just by the way of your body movements. Isn't that interesting? Artificial intelligence, you will not be able to hide from it. So when you look at China, again, look at it. And again, I'm going to remind you that data is the new gold today. Why? Because it can be used to control people. It can be used in order to be able to get rich if you have it. Now, if the world calls Jesus and his resurrection and his returning one day to set up his kingdom fake news, it seems only fair to assume that it would call any story that claims that the World Economic Forum's goal is to usher in a one-world government. Well, when you look that up, I like to find out what the truth is just by going on Google and finding out what they're calling fake news. Because normally what they're calling fake news, you could probably think, well, that's true. Because, see, they say, this is fake news. The World Economic Forum, they're never going to do this. They'll never control you. They'll never get rid of you. This is fake news. Well, I'm sorry, from what I'm reading, I don't know. I just don't know if it's fake news. But we're going to end here. And I want to remind you of what 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says. Okay? Paul is talking to believers. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord, talking about the tribulation, will come like a thief in the night. In other words, it's just going to go right on you. They're not even going to know. Just like in the days of Noah, and eat, drink, marrying, and it just, poof, next thing you know, destruction. Now, it says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pain on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you as like a thief. In other words, all the stuff going around us should not surprise us. We should be able to, you know, look at God's word, take God's word through the lens of God's word, look at everything that is happening around us so we're not deceived by it. So it doesn't take us off guard or by surprise. So when Christians see the world moving toward the beast system, it shouldn't catch any Christian off guard. Okay? They should be able to discern what is happening around us. And I would say today, by looking into this, just in my lifetime, and as I study prophecy, and I've actually taught on prophecy, I see there being more and more added to it today. I really think that the rapture of the church could happen at any moment. How far God allows the church to go into this preparation for the beast system, I don't know. Father, we just thank you for this time we could look into your word. And Father, help us. You do say that we don't walk in darkness. We're not part of the darkness. We walk in the light. And as Josh said in the beginning there, you know, we are the light and the salt to the world. And we need to be able to honestly look around us and to be able to discern what is truth and what is false. Are people really trying to help us? Do they have our best interest? Or is there something below that that they're really, they just want to get us out of the way? So, Father, help us as we look in the world today. But the most important thing, Father, help us not to be fearful, because we know that all this stuff is going to come about. But help us to be motivated, seeing all these things, understanding that the only way that people can escape this is by the rapture. So help it to be something that motivates us even more today as we see this unfolding, to share with people about Jesus Christ, that they can be saved and they can escape what's coming on the world today. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.